Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a very solemn, very sad, very serious occasion. That's right. It's probably our final episode on Star Trek Lower Decks. We are doing a little recap. We are thinking about season 5. We are thinking about season 1, and we are thinking about the show as a whole, but it's sad. I'm Bob, Cascadia crying. That's Matt in the Southland. He's at least sniffling. We are Uncanny Treks.
Yeah, Bob, it's disappointing, man. I want more, but at the same time, I know if we get more, quality is going to go down.
Yeah. But, oh, man, just the joke of the 7 seasons, right? I've said that 100 times on this show. Just like the joke of the 7 seasons. It's 2 more seasons.
We just finished up season 5, and as part of our podcast, we went back and revisited season 1. And we've gone through and classified the episodes from season 5 and season 1 into great episodes, okay episodes, and dumpster fire episodes.
And the results may surprise you.
Probably not.
Matt, do you want to run down what the great episodes are for season 5?
Sure, Bob. So in season 5, the great episodes, we have Dos Cerritos, which was the multiversal premiere of the season. We have Shades of Green, which focused on Tendi as a pirate. We have The Best Exotic Nanite Hotel, which was the return of Jin the Andorian. We had Gods and Angels, which was about Apollo's granddaughter. We had Fully Dilated, which was a riff on The Inner Light. And then we had Upper Decks, which was and a two-part finale.
That's the bulk of the show, isn't great.
Yeah.
Even though maybe you and I, especially maybe me, were a little cranky at points, when you go back and you look at it on the whole, I think you pretty much all pretty great.
Yeah, so there's really only 2 episodes we are considering not putting in the great category, and we'll talk about those in a minute.
I can just go ahead and say those. I'm going to say, maybe Matt will disagree with me, but on the one hand, I've always asked for Lower Decks to do non-Lower Deck spotlight episodes, and when they do it with the Klingon farming, I put it in the okay. So maybe I'm ungrateful, but I just like Farewell to Farms. I don't know. It was fine. I'm glad they did something out of the realm of the usual, but to me, it was just fine. And then likewise, Starbase 80 ! It was okay. The joke was a little tired.
They had to do it, Bob, because that's the finale. I mean, come on. They had to go back to it.
We're going to talk about things maybe they were teasing the whole show that they didn't wrap up later on.
Right.
But you do have to give it to them. They've been making the Starbase 80 jokes since literally season 1. I would agree that Farewell to Farms and Starbase 80 just belong in the okay.
The key thing with our category when we say okay, it's not just it's okay. It's okay or interesting or important without being great. And the key word there is important. Starbase 80 is an important episode. It is not great.
It does set up the finale, surprisingly.
Same with Farewell to Farms.
Very much true. And like I said, neither are bad.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. They're not dumpster fires. They're not garbage. So.
And noticeably for season 5, the dumpster
fire. Nothing in the dumpster fire there. All right, Bob. Season 1, we just said everything's great.
Do you want me to run down quickly what all the greatness is in season 1, just so people remember that?
Go right ahead, Bob.
So we've got the pilot, the second contact. We've got Envoys. That's where Mariner meets her Klingon general friend. We've got Temporal Edict, where we are introduced to the concept of buffer time, not a time travel thing. It's a work time thing. We have Moist Vessel. That's where Freeman promotes Mariner to punish her, as well as Tendi botches a crewman trying to ascend spiritually. We have Cupid's Errant Arrow. That's where we meet Boimler's girlfriend. We have Terminal Provocations. That's the introduction of Badgie. We have Much Ado About Boimler. That's where Boimler gets phased and joins the Freaks crew, the movie Freaks. We have Veritas. That's the trial episode where we learn about Tendi's special ops mission. We have Crisis Point. That's the Star Trek movie parody. And then we have the finale, No Small Parts, which introduces Peanut Hamper and introduces the Titan.
All the episodes just fantastic in season 1, which is why the show took off.
Yeah, very much so. No, yeah. Both empty, okay or interesting category and an empty dumpster fire for season 1. So, Matt, what were your favorite episodes from season 5 and season 1?
My favorite episode for season 5 was Upper Decks. I really liked they explored what the crew members that were not the Lower Decks guys, but the senior crew members, what they were doing. That was
the
my
hilarious
favorite.
Thing here is Matt, Lower Decks is a spinoff of that Next Generation episode, Lower Decks. Matt wants a spinoff of Upper Decks from Lower Decks, not realizing that that would just be Star Trek The Next Generation again.
It would, Bob. It really would be. And that's just what I want more of. So I don't see the problem. No. Bob, my favorite episode of season one was Terminal Provocations. And that's the episode where we're introduced to Badgy. I like Badgy. Badgy is one of my favorite characters from Lower Decks. So,
one of the great ongoing gags, at least of the first four seasons of the show, is the evil computers. And Badgy is one of the best of the evil computers.
Yeah. Badgy will be the death of us all, Bob.
Yeah, I welcome him. I welcome him.
All right, Bob, what about you? What was your favorite episode of season five?
So for me, my favorite episode of season five was Fully Dilated, which is really funny because I find that title gross. And I actually really don't like The Inner Light that much. That's one of my least favorite Star Trek episodes. But I thought this was just so good, so delightful. It does really fun things with Mariner's character. It does really fun things with Tendi and Talim's relationship. Just so much going on in Fully Dilated. I was totally and utterly charmed. And we get, was it Purple Data?
Purple Data, yes, Bob.
Purple Data is the only multiversal character I've ever enjoyed in that.
Yeah. Purple Data.
And for season one, I've talked about this a lot during our coverage of it, but I really love Temporal Edict. That's the one that introduces the concept of buffer time. I like Lower Decks almost best when it's a commentary on contemporary corporate work environments. And Temporal Edict is that at its finest.
And Bob, I'm just going to go ahead and say that that was my least favorite episode because it's your favorite episode. Because they're all great from season one, Bob. Picking a least favorite is not easy with this show. But I will say season five was Farewell to Farms because that we already talked about it.
For me, it's Starbase 80. I do find Klingon Farmers funnier than I find Starbase 80. So definitely I went Starbase 80 for my least favorite of season five. And then for season one, I'll say Moist Vessel. It's really not bad, but you got to pick something.
That is a funny episode. It was hilarious, some of the stuff that going on that one. I like to imagine an episode that the guy that's ascending is just a stand-in for Wesley Crusher. It makes the episode so much better.
I was just going to ask, Matt, was there anything that surprised you in season five?
Really just, I guess, the pacing itself.
To me, the thing that was surprising about season five was that it was mostly just another season of Lower Decks. I've said this 1,000 times. I know I'm a broken record, but I wish the show would experiment more. And in some ways it did with the multiverse stuff in season five, but mostly it didn't. And I just thought that was very interesting that the show basically wrapped up as it had been for the last 4 years with, okay, up the stakes with the multiverse and then have maybe a 2 or 3 part finale arc, but everything else pretty much the same.
Yeah. So yeah, it comes back and keeps the status quo with what you're saying,
which is what it's been doing the entire run. Did anything surprise you in season one of Lower Decks going back to it?
Just how much better season one is in hindsight after having watched the whole series and just how there's just continuity between even some of the long-running jokes and gags and stuff all the way from season one to the final season.
I was also surprised how great it was. I think in my rankings, I've now forgotten what they used to be, but I tended to punish season one a lot, and that really wasn't justified in hindsight.
Maybe going back to what I was saying about pacing earlier, I think the actual pacing of season five and season one are comparing them, how a lot of the episodes somewhat lined up the way they did. Just, it was interesting to me. Some of that was intentional.
That is an interesting point. It is funny how our covering season five against season one worked out so well.
It was dichotomous to some degree, some of the themes.
Yeah, we don't want to overstate it, right?
No, but it's definitely there.
So Matt, who are your favorite or the best developed or the most interesting characters for season five and season
one? Well, season five, I'm definitely going to go Tendi. I mean, this character has come so far from season one, where we didn't really know much about Orions to begin with, but now we know all about the Orions.
That's a really good point that I haven't thought enough about, is how the thing that this show will probably really leave its imprint on for like future versions of Trek is it's really defined out Orions as a species and a culture. I mean, there's still a lot left you could do.
Right.
But that's really probably been its biggest contribution to the canon, quote unquote.
Yeah, because I didn't know jack about Orions until this show. And without Tendi, you don't really have that connection. And then with season one, the most developed and interesting character is definitely Mariner. It was Mariner is who you're following. And it's At least in that first season, that's the main character. She has the best line.
We both said that for season one, it's Mariner, right? She definitely is the star, right?
Yeah.
We're still working out the kinks on Tindy and Rutherford in season one. Boimler, maybe some people for us, especially for me, just a hard thing to ask, right? And then you had such a good explanation of Tindy. It's a little bit making me question my choice for season five, but my choice for season five would also be Mariner. I just really like how she winds up as like co-provisional XO with Boimler. That's a really funny character arc for her.
That is cool. And it makes me wish we had more Lower Decks to explore that, because that would be the fun stuff. That would be where the humor is.
I would love in 5 years if they did a couple seasons of the further adventures of the Cerritos, right?
If you want to see me piss Bob off, listen to this. What they could do, Bob, is an IDW comic.
I would love that, unless Ryan Norris.
I know, Bob. All right, Bob. So my least favorite major character in season five, unfortunately, goes to Rutherford because of just the confusing arc with his technology. That I don't know if I'm missing something throughout.
I don't think we are. Maybe we did, but I don't think we are, because I agree with you. And in general, I thought Rutherford had a good arc for the season, but the last episode about him rejecting his implant.
Yes.
We already talked about how that's maybe not an ideal story from a disability rights perspective, right? It just felt weird and abrupt, and I didn't dig it either. I agree with you. I could always give it, I really don't like Boimler, of course. But if you look at it over the course of season five, Boimler improves as he becomes more a better version of himself. And then Rutherford declines, at least.
It doesn't make any sense. He's the only character. It's like they had to tack something on for him.
That would also be the big argument for doing the further adventures of the Cerritos in a couple of years as an animated series. It's just maybe they can fix kind of where they left Rutherford, man.
What will they do with him? I don't nothing.
I mean, honestly, this sounds dumb, but I almost hope they would give him the implant.
They probably will.
All right, Matt, who was your least favorite major character for season one?
Season one, I'm just going to go Boimler, Bob. He is annoying in season one.
You're always supposed to sort of hate him. You're not supposed to hate him as much as I hate him, but you're always supposed to sort of hate him, especially in season one. And so, yeah, I agree, Boimler.
Yeah. All right, Bob, least favorite minor character, season five, you and I have the same character because I tried to think of another character that I didn't like, and this is the only one I could come up with. So just, who was our character, Bob, that we disliked? Yeah, they butchered Curzon. Yeah, they butchered him.
I don't get it, man.
I had the DS9 example to go by. It's not that complicated. I don't know.
Granted, it's supposed to be a multiversal version, but I don't think they mean for him to be so lame.
It was bad.
And then, Matt, who was your least favorite minor character for season one?
Well, Bob, I put O'Connor, that's the Ascension guy, because he is a stand-in for Wesley Crusher. I liked that he got tortured and had to experience Ascension, but he's still just, I just want to make sure, make clear, I do not like him.
Especially, I never much cared for him, but especially since you've made the Wesley Crusher point. A kind of similar character, I went with Fletcher for season one, and you're supposed to hate him.
Like, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, so they did a good job. Matt, I did totally botch our notes, and I totally forgot to put a favorite or best developed or most interesting character for a minor character. Do you want to go ahead and just guess one off the top of your head?
You just want me to list my favorite minor character from
could be for season five and season one, or you could do one that does for both season five and season one. I'm going to go for both season five and season one with mine.
All right. Surprisingly, my favorite minor character... The least favorite minor or most favorite? Wait, which one?
Favorite.
Most favorite. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Bob, I'm going to go with Apollo's granddaughter. Her name escapes me right now, whatever her name was.
Oh, I intentionally never put her name down in the notes. I always just put her down as Apollo's granddaughter.
And strangely enough, they used her just enough to where it wasn't bad.
She's technically Zeus's granddaughter, but because it was Apollo in the original series episode, I'm going to insist on saying Apollo's granddaughter.
So I'm going to go with her because they used her the perfect amount to where it wasn't stupid. Nice. So good job there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And then do you have one for season one?
And for season one, I'm going to go with the unnamed guy who runs the ship that the freak show guys are on.
Oh, yeah, the he's the same species as Eryx from the anime.
Yeah, that guy. And here's why, because that dude just, you never learn his name, but he just has a whole convoy of freaks.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great character. Yeah. It's a very good choice. Very good choice. I'm going to just be lazy, and I'm just going to say Shax.
Yeah, Shax is a great, yeah. Yeah.
It was between Shax and Teyana, and I thought about splitting it. I was like, nah, I'll just give it to Shax. Well, Matt, with season five, did anything strike you as wasted potential?
Yeah, I mean, we never get an answer to the Great Panda Bob or the Great Koala, whatever it's called, the Great Koala.
I think that's right.
The Black Mountain or anything going on there. There's no answers to that. And I don't think we're ever going to go back to it, anything that's not animated.
It seemed when they were doing it in season four, it seemed like they were really setting it up as a big mystery for the show. But in hindsight, it's just supposed to be meta, right? Because the Black Mountain is just like evil Paramount logo.
Right.
And so I think it's just supposed to be a meta. In hindsight, I think I misread it slightly. And it's really just a meta thing, not an overarching mystery thing.
I'm sure somebody will make it a big mystery one day, Bob, 20 years from now.
Ryan North will talk about it in a Lower Decks comic that I don't read.
He totally will, Bob.
You'll tell me about it and I'll groan while you do.
I'm going to make sure I hashtag Ryan North.
Yeah, why don't you go read Squirrel Girl?
Yeah.
Since you like his work so much.
Random question, Bob. Squirrel Girl is not a mutant. How does that work?
Spider-Man's not a mutant. I don't even know what Squirrel Girl's origin was.
Get Damn.
By a radioactive squirrel?
No, I think it was genetic. That's what I'm saying. I don't. But she's not considered a mutant. I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
Apologies for the crude phrasing, but if you're born a freak, or if you have an accident like Spider-Man or the Hulk or the Fantastic Four that transform you, then you're a mutate. Whereas to technically be a mutant, at least the old definition was, you needed to be born with the genetic variants, but it needed to manifest at puberty.
Okay. That's a whole lot of things you have to know about somebody to judge them on the sly.
Well, and on the one hand, you can always make the point that obviously racism isn't rational.
Right.
So it does make sense that racists in the Marvel Universe love the Avengers but hate the X-Men.
Yeah, that does make sense.
But on the other hand, I don't know if they would be bothering to paint a distinction.
That's a lot of big distinction there, apparently. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry to go off on a tangent there.
Wasted potential. No problem. For me, Matt, wasted potential in season five, multiverse stuff. It's always a waste of time to my mind. So I'm a little grumpy that we spent so much time, especially in the last two episodes on it.
But they got to be able to put out video games, Bob. And books and comics and anything else that can multiversalize.
I'd be curious if you agree with this or not in terms of wasted potential for season one. I think season one arguably is too hyperbolic, too over the top. I think they needed to do that to set the tone of the show, but I wonder if in hindsight, maybe toning it down a little more would have worked better. I don't know.
You are right in saying that in season one, especially those scenes where Boimler
or Mariner just kind of being randomly violent to know.
The scenes played strictly just for comedy as they come off too strong. But I guess they had to set the look at the temperature, figure out what gets laughs, what doesn't, what's jumping the shark, what's not. That's the scary thing with this is that, and they never really did this. They never really jumped the shark. Do you agree?
We do this every season to recap Lower Decks, as is tradition. I don't think mine has ever changed. Actually, no, it has changed because I think Picard dropped.
Oh, yeah. Your Picard dropped. But yeah.
My captain ranking remains, and it has for at least a couple years. Sisko, Janeway, Pike, Kirk, Freeman, Sheridan, Picard, Archer, Burnham, the kid from Prodigy. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't agree with Picard being so far down. He should be a little further up, but everybody else is perfect.
If Picard's the show hadn't happened, it would be Pike, Picard, Kirk. But Matt, Picard the show happened.
I know, Bob, but I still have Picard. I would probably switch out Janeway a little bit, too, because you have a thing. You like Janeway more than I do.
Yeah, well, I watched a lot of Voyager.
Yes, you did. Yeah, but yeah, Picard would definitely be up there after Sisko for sure.
Wow. Yeah, sorry. I mean, maybe once upon a time that's true, but Picard the show happened. So do you agree with Freeman being above Sheridan?
I can go with that now, Bob, now that we had four seasons of Freeman. The previous times we have ranked the captains like this, usually I disagree with Freeman being on the list, but now that we have five seasons of seeing Freeman in action, I have a better understanding of where she comes from as a captain, her leadership style. Especially after my favorite episode, Upper Decks.
And in a way, Freeman is, at least on my list, she's doing really well because every other character I've listed is the star of their show.
Right.
And she is at best the fifth most prominent character and maybe lower than that on the show. She's doing really well compared to the amount of screen time she has.
Whereas with Sheridan, with Babylon 5, I've seen almost half the series.
Yeah, you haven't seen some of the best Sheridan. You've seen some good Sheridan moments, but you haven't seen some of the best Sheridan moments, in fairness.
Yeah, and Sheridan's definitely above Sinclair at this point. I don't know. You don't rank him anymore, but I would.
One day, Matt, maybe we'll do the Young Justice treatment of Babylon 5 and just do like five episodes at a time or something.
All right, Bob. So let's move on to season rankings.
Yeah, Matt, how would you rank the seasons for today?
So, Bob, if I had to rank the seasons, season two would definitely be at the top. Season two, I think, is where they really hit their stride as far as understanding like what level of humor is appropriate, toning down certain aspects that were funny in season one, but they were a little too far, like we just talked about.
Yeah, and it doesn't run into the later season's problem of overstaying its welcome.
Correct. And then I would say, so I go season two, then season one, then season three, season five, and then season four.
I see what you're doing there, and I largely agree. I went 2-1-5-4-3. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference for me is going back and reviewing. I think even though there is good stuff in season three and it's not that bad, to me, that's where the fatigue started to set in. Some of the gags, I think, like the return to DS9, I believe, was in season three.
Yes.
And I'm still like, I think you liked that.
I did.
But I was just disappointed by that. And I think a couple of the other episodes in season three did land for me. So on the whole, I would say that's why I put season three at the bottom.
Season three was rich with nostalgia, which I just eat up. So that's why I like threes more than anything.
Well, and I mean, really what it comes down to is season four had the Voyager tribute episode, and season three had the DS9.
Yeah.
And it's not even, because I like DS9 more than Voyager, but I thought the Voyager tribute was a better tribute to Voyager than the DS9 tribute. Then it was a tribute to DS9, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. All right, Bob. So you went through and you took all of your character of the weeks for each season. Is that correct? Each episode?
We'll quickly run through and just give listeners a nice little recap of where we've been. So I'll run through Max for season one. So for season one, characters of the week, Matt went with Shax. He went with the Klingon General Corrin. He went with Mariner. He went with Ransom. He went with Boimler's girlfriend, Barb Brinson. He went with Badgie. He went with Rutherford, he went with Tendi, he went with the Cerritos computer, and he went with Riker.
Yeah. Barb Brinson they could have explored her more. That would have been a character we could have seen more.
Although, it is kind of funny that we just never see her.
Yeah, that is too. That's true. Yeah, so then Bob for season one, he went with Tiana, he went with Rutherford twice, Ransom, Freeman, Boimler's girlfriend attracting Parasite, Shaq,
Barb Brinson, but her Parasite.
Shax, Tendi, Vindicta, and Badgie.
Then for season two, Matt went with Mariner twice. Even though he barely remembered that Jet was a character in season five, he went with Jet. He went with Tendi. He went with Shax. He went with Boimler twice. He went with the evil computer Agamas. He went with Ransom. And then he went with his namesake, Matt the Beluga Whale.
We learned that there was a beluga whale by the name of Matt on the Cerritos. That is a very important character. And I completely forgot about Agamas. Wow.
Yeah, voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
Good stuff. All right, Bob went with Tiana three different times. Of course he did. He went with Kayshan the Temeria, the Ferengi, and the Mugatu pelt. Tendi, Agamas, Boimler, Talin, Kamolu, the horny beluga whale.
I will say, if there is other wasted potential in the show, man, I really feel like they could have done more with Kayshan the Temerian.
Yeah, but he did get some pretty good lines in the last season. Yeah.
That's true. He was always there, but he was just never very prominent in the later season. For season three, Matt went with Zephon Cochran. He went with Mariner. He went with Freeman's yeoman, Steve Stevens, another character who we totally forgot about. We're surprised that he existed in season five.
I forgot about Steve Stevens.
Oh. Yeah, me too. He went with Caveman Ransom's churro wife, Churro Livia.
Yeah, remember that?
He went with Rutherford. He went with Morn in the DS9 episode. He went with Peanut Hamper. He went with Sulu in a surprise cameo. He went with Migliamu, and he went with even Dr. T.
That's right, Bobby. How can you say season three is not the best? Look at that.
It even got you, Dr.
And Sulu.
That was a really funny cameo of getting Sulu instead of Kirk. That really made me laugh.
All right. And season three, Bob went with Tendi three different times. Martok, Jin, Tiana, Shax, Agamas, Ransom, and Freeman.
Yeah. In season four, Matt went with the Rigelian curator of Voyager. He went with Mariner. He went with Freeman. He went with Tendi. He went with Talin. He went with Rom. Never mind. Season four is the word. He went with Peanut Hamper. He went with the animated series Shapeshifters, the Vendorians from the cave episode. He went with Billings, and he went with Migliamun.
All right, now Bob went with Ransom Mariner, the Twin Peaks Koala, the Chalanoth Captain. He went with Tiana twice, Rutherford Tindy.
Their romance.
The whole togetherness. Agamas, Freeman, and then Mark Twain.
For season five, Matt went with Shax twice. He went with Talin twice. He went with Jen for the return of Jen. He went with Migliamun again. Matt surprisingly liked Migliamun a lot. He went with Matt the Whale again. He went with Tiana. He went with his favorite, Dr. Garrick. And then he went with Relga's Microtarg from the finale.
Microtarg was a very important character, Bob. All right. In the season five, Bob went with Talin, Boimler's Tellarite, Jin, Mariner, Freeman, Apollo's granddaughter, Tindy, Shax, T'Pol, and Ransom.
I will say T'Pol is a good multiversal pull, unlike Curzon.
That's true. So, Bob, tell us about our overalls here. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah, so you picked Shax four times. You picked Mariner five times. You picked Ransom twice. You went with Tindy three times. You went with Migliamun three times. And you went with Talin three times.
I'm surprised I went with Shax so many times.
I mean, you should be. He's a great character.
He is a good character. But then also with Migliamun three times. That's weird, too. I almost went with Migliamun as many times as I did Shax, which is strange because I don't even remember. I mean, he had like one spotlight episode.
Yeah, that's shocking.
He must have had some funny lines or something.
He had some funny gags, and you partially just did it. I mean, as much as we like this show, we did talk about how the Fantastic Four could get a little tiresome.
Right, which is why we went with some of the more offbeat. But there's usually a reason. So yeah. Migliamun had a lot of really good lines, and I just don't remember them off the top of my head. Wow, okay. And Bob, you went with Tiana seven times, but also Tindy seven times.
In a certain sense, I'm surprised I went with Tiana so, quote, little. I'm surprised I went with Tindy so much. I really didn't realize I'd pick Tindy seven times.
I'm surprised you don't have Talin on yours either, which is...
Well, I always liked Talin, but I think there were very few episodes where Talin was really spotlighted.
Right. And then you have Ransom four times, which is still surprising. I mean, we discussed this in the last episode, but having Ransom so many times is surprising.
We were both surprised at how prominent Ransom was in the finale, but then it is interesting to go back and to look and see that I picked him as the character of the episode four times. You did two times. We were picking him as far back as season one as a character of the episode, right? So it is funny how prominent Ransom has been through the whole show.
We watched his rise to the top, Bob, and didn't even know it. All right, Bob.
And then I also did Rutherford three times, I did Freeman four times, and I did Shax three times. And honestly, I really like Mariner, so I'm surprised I didn't pick Mariner more often, but she was the protagonist, so I was always trying to pick somebody who wasn't the protagonist.
Right, and I'm basic, which is why I picked her five times.
So by the numbers, your favorite character is Mariner, and my favorite is, you know, Tiana or Tindy as the Dark Horse.
There you go.
Well, Matt, this has been a real pleasure. Looking forward to getting back with you on Strange New Worlds for more Star Trek podcasting. In the meantime, listeners should join us, as we're probably going to keep covering some Batman comics. We definitely got our My Year End list TV and movies for Matt to make fun of me. So join us for that and keep listening to Uncanny X. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.